Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy is good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and this is our first show of December. We are in the most wonderful time of the year. We have passed Thanksgiving. We made it through. Now we are in the season of holidays, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, of course. I know 90% of our audience celebrates Kwanzaa. And of course, Christmas and Festivus. So we are going to kick off the holiday season with this episode of the program. But I can't do it alone, so let me bring in my co-host from the City of Angels. You might have seen him if you're watching the video version of the program, sipping on that sangria, sipping on that yak. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome from Southern California, from the City of Angels. Marcus, I knew I should have taken the over on Clemson Vandenberg. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. I was just thinking today, like with all the college football over, from Friday night to all the title games today. If I was somebody who was a degenerate gambler, this would be a very stressful time of the year for me.
This is probably why I stopped gambling.
It just was messing up your days.
It's just very stressful. Yeah, it took the fun out of watching sports because you're watching for a different purpose. You're not watching for win or loss. You're watching for can they cover X amount of points.
I think that's the crazy thing about gambling. Like, I think gambling can add excitement to a meaningless game, but the meaningful games, it does take away from that experience because you're not just watching a game. You're worried about, how is this going to affect my bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun. I wasn't ready a week or so ago, the last time we talked, Marcus, for the college football playoffs, but I think I am now.
It is December 7th, so we still have what, 3 weeks to go, 3.5 weeks.
Yep. So I know. How you feeling now that your Pac-12 has pretty much been eliminated from the conversation?
Pac-12 gone, Alabama gone, so
yep.
I have no reason to watch.
No rooting interest.
No rooting interest. Let's just assume Oklahoma gets in. It would be Oklahoma against Ohio State. Well, Ohio State's losing, so that would be a curveball. But let's just assume Ohio State wins. It would be Oklahoma, Ohio State in theory, and then Clemson, LSU, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think out of those four teams, obviously I like Oklahoma because, I want to see your boy Jalen get a little payback, get a little shine. But then after that, like, I'm done with Clemson. Like, they were a nice story a couple years ago, but I think I'm all dabbled out.
Mm-hmm.
I can never bring myself to root for any Big Ten team. So I think if not Oklahoma, I guess I'm going for LSU because I kind of like Burrow.
I think he locked up his Heisman this afternoon.
Yeah.
Not that it was much of a race, but he had his Heisman moment. And I mean, it's Coach O too. I mean, I'm rooting for Coach O. So I would like to see LSU, Oklahoma in the, we wouldn't have that, right? That would be my ideal title game. I don't know if it's going to actually happen or not, but, ideally I wanted to see Tua against Jalen when Alabama was in the midst, but we know what happened in Alabama, so that's not going to happen. But I think it'll still make for some interesting football during the holidays.
Marcus, I know, like, I don't want to put you in a position where you're speaking on a conflict of interest personally here, brother. Mm-hmm. But did you see the clips this week where they were talking to my man Tua, and he's like, you know, I have to weigh the pros and cons, and I might go back. I was looking at him like, Negro,
for who, for what?
What? Yes. Like, if I'm gonna have to rehab for a year, let me do that on the NFL's dime, and instead of not getting paid to rehab.
Yeah, he's not going back. And if he did go back, it would be strictly to rehab, and yeah, he would not play it down.
Which doesn't, again, that doesn't make any sense. It's not like, because he's already graduated, correct?
That I don't know.
I thought I heard somewhere that he had graduated early, but okay, maybe not. But even still, you can always go back and get your degree.
Yeah.
Like, go, even if he's, for some reason, he slips all the way down to, you know, the bottom of the second round, which I don't think will happen. But let's say, even if he mm-hmm. slipped down to a second round pick, that's still more money than you're making working out in Tuscaloosa.
More money is better than no money.
Yep. So, yeah, I would go ahead and get that draft on, and that way, certain somebody else, the lane is freer for them without all these questions.
Yeah, actually, on that note, if we have any listeners in San Antonio or who are familiar with San Antonio, I am going in January, so looking for any food recommendations out in a part of Texas I've never been to before. I've been to Dallas, I've been to Houston, I've been to Austin.
I'm surprised you've never been to San Antonio, considering...
There's been no reason to go to San Antonio. No baseball in San Antonio.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And, even sports-wise, what? The Spurs. That's
the
it.
The Spurs, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Charles Barkley tells me the Riverwalk is nice.
And the churros and the women.
Churros.
Yeah.
And the everything but the women, apparently, which I cannot speak to.
Yeah.
So let's stick with college football, though, Marcus, here, because this is, you know, the championship Saturday. We got the Big Ten championship as well as the ACC championship games going on as we speak. As you mentioned earlier, LSU already wrapped up, you know, a great regular season in the SEC, putting an exclamation point on that and kicking Georgia to the curb. What have you made so far of the games? And do you think that, barring any upset, like let's say Wisconsin finds a way to pull this thing off, barring any major upset, do you think we're set with Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Oklahoma?
Yeah, well, I think even if Ohio State loses, they'll get in. They just won't be the one seed. So
if Ohio State gets in, I mean, if Ohio State loses, does that then knock Oklahoma out in lieu of Wisconsin?
No, Wisconsin has two losses. Mm. And
so even with the title, you don't think Wisconsin's going to get in?
I don't think so. I mean, it's one loss to Oklahoma that won their conference tournament against two loss Wisconsin that won their conference.
Yeah.
That's a big jump. I think they'll maybe, if that scenario happens, Wisconsin might finish fifth. I could see Ohio State dropping to maybe third, and then Oklahoma four,
mm-hmm.
and then moving up LSU one.
And then Clemson, too. Okay.
So I could see that. But I think we have...
That means we'll get, Wisconsin, Utah, and the Rose Bowl?
Oh, man, that's... Yeah, I have a coworker who is from Wisconsin and went to Utah. So he would be very much interested in a Utah-Wisconsin Rose Bowl. But
be an audience of one.
The rest of us... Actually, no, take that back. It would be Oregon.
Okay, yeah.
Oregon won the Pac-12, so
that's right. I don't know why I thought I was thinking you. I've misremembered. I thought Utah won because that's what everybody wanted to happen.
Yeah. No, it'll be Oregon against Wisconsin.
Okay, that's a little bit better.
It's a little better. Yeah, a little better.
A little Mario Cristobal.
Yeah.
So in terms of those four teams, so let's go on the assumption, Marcus, that we're talking LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Do you see any scenario where LSU doesn't win? Because obviously we're looking at Clemson stomping out a woefully mismatched Virginia team. And we've known Ohio State's been the class of their conference. But to me, LSU is just above and beyond, a step or two better than everybody else we've seen this season.
The offense has been, the defense has not been, you know, the defense has been very suspect. And I think that if LSU were to lose, it would be because of the defense. It would not because of Joe Burrow, but because, you know, you're talking about three great offenses they would be facing. Even Clemson, who's had a bit of a down year. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is now sort of looking like the Trevor Lawrence of last year.
Crazy to say, considering the fact that they really haven't been tested too much this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big knock against Clemson would be...
the ACC.
The schedule, yeah. I mean, Clemson is not really... let's see. Clemson has... so they beat Texas A&M. They were 12th at the time. Beating by 2 touchdowns. That's the only ranked... and in Virginia, who they're beating tonight.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's been pretty light for Clemson.
Granted, the conference is dominated. Is down.
Very down. And then when you throw in their, you know, wins against Wofford and Charlotte, yeah, not great competition. But they won. I mean, they yeah. played the schedule, so.
Hey, you play to win the game, as the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils would tell you, Marcus Vandenberg.
Yes.
Which I didn't know, Marcus. I might have a new favorite college football team.
Who's that?
That is outside of the state of Virginia, because I root for all the Virginia teams. But if I'm going to pick any other school, it has to be Arizona State, because not only do you got my man Herman Edwards, but little did I know Marcus Vandenberg until a couple weeks ago when they upset Oregon, that Marvin Lewis is on the payroll, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Marvin Lewis getting some payback.
Yeah, he's well, I was gonna say they didn't make the playoffs, but no, they'll make the bowl game. They're 7-5.
I was gonna say, I thought they won at least 6 games. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll.
And they had that big win over Oregon, so that should buy them something.
Yeah, they'll get a game, but the Pac-12 is not good.
I like the quarterback, though. I can't think of the kid's name offhand, but the quarterback for Arizona State, I think he's a freshman. He looked like he's got some potential.
Is it Jaden Daniels?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I like what I saw in that Oregon game.
He's a freshman. He was good. Didn't turn the ball over. So, you know, Arizona State's they're in a weird spot. I mean, I think there is a ceiling for certain schools in the Pac-12, and maybe that includes USC these days. But I think they're going to have a hard time.
If only they could have kept some homegrown talent. If only.
If only. But, you know, Clay Helton's coming back, so they're good.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think it's a good spot for Herm. I think, you know, he can win 7, 8, maybe in a best case scenario year, 9 games at that program. And I think Arizona State fans will be happy. They don't seem to be the most outrageous bunch when it comes to expectations.
They're not like USC fans, no. They're not.
Yes. Yeah, they're not going to try to run Herm out of town for an 8-8 season. Not 8-8, like an 8-4 season.
Yeah.
Again, Marvin Lewis is like 8-8. I can do that all day. That's what I do.
That's me. Have you seen my resume?
Black Jeff Fisher in the building.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Marvin Lewis real quick, and maybe this is a good transition to the NFL, Marcus. I was on the about 2 weeks ago, week before Thanksgiving, and we were talking about Redskins, of course. That was the big topic of the day. And Bob Matthews, the host, we were kind of brainstorming of who would be the next Redskins head coach if Bill Callahan doesn't come back and if Kevin O'Connell doesn't get promoted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the fans in the area want Mike Tomlin, which is not going to happen. Because why? Why would Mike Tomlin do that? But the name that Bob Matthews threw out to me, and I just started laughing, was your man Marvin Lewis.
Hail to the Redskins.
And I was like, you know what? That's just crazy enough to work, because Redskins, they don't need to win championships, Marcus. They just need to get to 500, maybe make the playoffs once or twice. Marvin Lewis could do that all day. Especially in the damn NFC East, the way they're looking this year, Marvin Lewis could have his team at 8-8 and in the playoffs. And they lose in the first round, but they make the playoffs.
I wonder if Marvin misses coaching that much that he would walk
into put
that,
up with Dan Snyder. And
Dan Snyder and that, yeah. That French is a mess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know how Doug – well, I do know how Doug Williams puts up with it because he gets that check every month. So, you know, you can do a lot of things when you have the proper motivation.
Yes.
Whatever you say, Mr. Snyder.
Oh, it's payday, Mr. Snyder. Look at that.
Right. Yeah, Jay Gruden, that was a great hire, Mr. Snyder. Dwayne Haskins, he's going to be the quarterback of the future, Mr. Snyder.
Oh, man. He does not look good.
No. I like him as a person. I just don't know if he'll be able to be a legit starting quarterback in the NFL. And yeah, it's not the best situation for him anyway.
He's throwing to people you never heard of before.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help.
Like your fantasy... These are not fantasy football all-stars.
No, this is not Santana Moss he's throwing to. So,
yeah, speaking of which, Marcus, I don't mean to toot my own horn around these parts, but for those that have been listening to Kings of Sport for a long time, they know that every football season we run a fantasy football league with the good people of Yahoo Fantasy Sports. And this year, Marcus, I don't know what's going on. It might be something in the water. But this year, I've compiled one of my greatest seasons ever across all of my fantasy football platforms. Because in our league, I believe I'm currently
You're in first.
We played 11 games?
Just say it. You're in first.
Oh, yeah, I'm currently first. You know, I got a first-round bye in the playoffs this week. I think I'm – am I 8-4?
You're 10-3.
Oh, I'm 10-3. Oh, where did those extra 2 wins come from? But, yeah, I'm 10-3 because I'm in 3 leagues this year. So I'm 10-3 in the Kings of Sport League, number one, as Marcus mentioned. In the other Yahoo Sports League, which is the post-wrestling league, last year I didn't have a good season for post-wrestling. I think I finished with 6 or 7 wins. It wasn't a good season. But this year I bounced back. This year I am 9-4 in the post-wrestling league, made the playoffs. And then I got a CBS Sports League that I just signed up for just out of tradition. And I ended up finishing first in my division. I am 9-4 in that league too, heading into the playoffs. So if there was a year where I should have put some money down, this probably should have been the year.
I had a rough year, Nate.
How many leagues were you in this year?
I think 4. Yeah, 4. I missed the playoffs in our league by 0.13 points.
Yeah, you were right there. I thought you were going to make it.
After losing my last 3 games, so did not make it.
To be fair, you know that was in the midst of your fatherhood, Marcus. So,
well, I was going to say
you had more important things on your mind.
I've been a little distracted, and I've not really paid close attention to my fantasy teams. I am in the playoffs in my work league, which probably not going to win because I'm the 8th seed, and I'm doing it against a team that's 12-1. But you know. You never know.
You fully upset.
Yeah, so I'll be glad when football's done with and we can try again next year.
Oh, I think one of the things we could talk about, Marcus, is something that we didn't really talk about last time was the man who might end up being your MVP this season. I guess it'd be fair to say right as of right now, he's probably the presumptive MVP. And I hope when they present him with the trophy, it's a light enough trophy. Because if he grabs it and it's a dark trophy, will they know that they really gave it to him? Of course, we're talking about Lamar Jackson, Marcus Vandenberg.
For the record, I was not offended by the statement. I just thought maybe you should not. Maybe you should not say the statement.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like if people ask me, like, did I think it was racist? Like, no, I don't think it was racist.
No, it's not racist.
Just a dumbass thing to say.
And I even understand the point he was trying to make. It was just not his place to make that point.
Yes. Now, Shannon Sharp, we would let Shannon Sharp make that point.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Skip.
Listen to the theory, Skip.
But what do you made of Lamar in this second season, Marcus Vandenberg, where he seems to have answered most, if not all, of the questions that folks had last season?
He is better than I thought he would be, to be honest. I thought he was great at Louisville, but I just thought I was a little worried about his game translating in the pros. And especially how much they have decided to run him, which I thought at some point they would maybe shy away from. And maybe that happens down the road when he gets, you know, beat up a bit. But, you know, I was not expecting him to lead the Ravens in rushing yards this year. And I think, you know, short term, you can do that. Long term, that's going to be a problem. But I think he has also shown his passing ability is well enough to rely more on the pass. You know, we've heard, obviously, a lot of comparisons to him and Michael Vick. I think he's a better passer than Michael Vick. Vick's passing was never his strength.
No, he had the arm. He just didn't have the accuracy.
He didn't have the accuracy. And Vick had, I think he had a better build body-wise for the rushing. So I think that's why he probably had more free range and probably people were less worried about him running the ball. But, you know, he's electric. He's the closest we've seen to Vick. He might go down as a better – I mean, I think he will go down as a better quarterback than Vick. He might even go down as more exciting than Vick, which will be, you know, I just didn't step.
And I think the biggest thing that I've seen with Lamar is not only him getting better, which – as much as I'm a fan of Michael Vick and what he did, he would even tell you his first few years in the league, he didn't put all the work in that he could have because he relied on his physical skills. You could tell Lamar is there in the film room. Lamar is studying. Lamar is trying to get better. The other thing, though, Marcus, and it's something that I don't think we've seen many mobile quarterbacks, many dual threat quarterbacks, get is the organization is behind him and they actually are working with him to set up this offense. And I think you got to give credit to Harbaugh and Greg Roman for that, because a lot of teams try to take mobile quarterbacks and fit them into what they want to do instead of saying, okay, this is what this kid can do. Let's see if we can work something out that puts him in the best position. And Baltimore's looked really good. Like, we knew the defense was going to be good. You know, we knew they were going to have a decent running game. I think that next step, like you mentioned, Lamar being able to pass the ball and pass the ball downfield as well, has been a nice change of pace. And, yeah, I don't think it's a fluke. I think the league is obviously going to adjust next season, but then it's up to Harbaugh and Lamar to adjust to the adjustment. And I think they're smart enough to do it.
I mean, he saved Harbaugh's job.
Like, Harbaugh
was on his way out last year. And he went to Lamar, and Lamar showed promise, and then that bought Harbaugh another season. And then this season, I mean, you know, the Ravens are one of the top teams in the NFL. So
yeah, like if the playoffs started today, they would have the home field advantage.
Yeah.
So New England would have to go to them.
Which, whew, that let's talk about the Patriots real quick. Are they the, not to be all Skip Bayless, but are they the worst 10-2 team you've ever seen?
Their offense is so pitiful.
Yeah.
There,
the defense is so good, but the offense just.
Yeah, you know what they remind me of, Marcus? They remind me of Ric Flair back in the '80s, where teams like Ric Flair would be working at a certain level, and the dude that was in the ring with him is like, "Why can't you beat Ric Flair?" And Ric Flair just finds a way to sneak out with the win in every match. Like Bobby Eaton, you should have just tried a little harder, and you could have won the match, Bobby Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
But Ric Flair was just that good, and that's what I'm seeing from the Patriots. Like, there's a reason why Baltimore beat them, because they're a more complete team. And I think it's going to take a team like that, like maybe Kansas City, if they can get everything rolling in the right direction, and certainly Baltimore. But there's only, I think, about three or four teams that I think can beat them, because, like you said, that defense is so good, and the offense will do just enough to squeak by with the win. But, yeah, that offense looks terrible. And it's like, is this all because they don't have Gronk, or they don't have a guy like Antonio Brown to stretch the field? Because Brady, yeah, like you give all the credit in the world to Tom Brady, but he is certainly a different quarterback when he doesn't have all of those pieces around him.
I don't know it's definitely part Gronk, but he's used to not having Gronk in the lineup.
Gronk was there, he wasn't there.
Yeah, at times it feels like the offensive line is just not giving him time to find Edelman or James White, because those are the two.
You think
receivers.
When Tom Brady goes to bed at night, when Giselle falls asleep, and Tom can like do whatever he needs to do, he pulls out, you know, that Wolverine meme where Wolverine's like looking at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls out a picture of Antonio Brown, and he's just, what could have been.
Yeah, I mean, it.
Because that one game they played together was probably the best Brady's looked all season.
Yeah. I'm sure they would want Demaryius Thomas back at this point. You know, they traded for Mohamed Sanu, which he's been fine, but he's not going to win you Super Bowl.
No, he's not that downfield threat.
No, N'Keal Harry was the guy they drafted from Arizona State, who was injured to start the year, and since he's come back, mm-hmm. hasn't been a real threat. It's just. Oh, and then we know about Josh Gordon.
I read something the other day that they had actually looked at bringing your man in, Dez Bryant, which, like, I don't know what condition Dez is in right now, so I don't know if he'd help.
Yeah, I mean, considering the last time he was getting close to come back, he, you know, with the Saints, he never played a game, so.
Yeah, missed the whole season. Yeah, like you mentioned, Josh Gordon is now with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot all about Josh Gordon not being on the Patriots, which probably doesn't say much about his time in Seattle. So, yeah, it's not pretty, but the defense has been so good, as I mentioned. So
Why is it taking him this long to get out to Seattle, Marcus?
Who? Oh.
Josh Gordon. Like, you would think, given his history, he would have it in his contract. I need to go to Seattle, Denver.
Maybe he's trying to actually get his mind right, Nate. Why are you trying to push him to the devil?
I'm just trying to say, if he does slip, at least slip in a state where it's legal and you can have a card for it.
It's still NFL rules. You can still get caught up
get thrown in NFL jail.
Yeah.
Like, this is the section of the jail for people to smoke weed and kneel during the national anthem.
Yeah,
over there is the section for people that hit women. But
yeah,
we got a whole crazy system here in the NFL jail. real quick, what did you make of your boy? I'm blanking on the guy's name. The quarterback for the Steelers, the third string QB.
Oh, Duck.
Duck. Yeah. What did you make of your boy? Like, is it just me or? Did the team rally around him in a way that they didn't rally around your boy Mason?
Is it almost like Mason was accused of saying a certain slur the week before?
Almost like Mason was dividing the team instead of uniting them.
for all the crap Tomlin gets from Steelers fans, the fact that this team is 7-5.
Yo, yeah. When they lost, when they lose, Ben, game 1 or 2?
Game 1 against the Patriots.
And they lost Ben game one. James Conner's been in and out of the lineup all season.
Yeah, I mean, they were 1-4 to start the year. They've had, Juju's been hurt most of the year.
Juju's been hurt, yep.
Conner's been hurt most of the year. He's only played 8 games.
Yeah.
They've had 3 different quarterbacks. this is like a remarkable job by Mike Tomlin. And, I mean, they're probably going to make the playoffs, which...
Yep.
I mean, when you're 1-4, probably unlikely. The fact that they're going to make the playoffs and Cleveland's not...
Yeah.
...is just hilarious to me.
I mean, you know what they say, Marcus. Pittsburgh started it.
Yes.
Why your boy Freddie Kitchens still got a job, Marcus?
This is, what, season one, right?
Yeah, this is season one.
It would be a bit much to fire him midseason.
And here's the thing, Marcus. Like, I'm not in the business of, you know, calling for people's jobs. I don't want to take food off of Freddie Kitchens' table. Mm-hmm. But I would fire him not even for the record on the field. Like, that's part of it. But just every time he's in a press conference, he looks like, and it's crazy that this movie is coming out, he looks like your man Richard Jewell back during the Olympic bombings when they always used to interview him. And he's like, Richard, what happened with the bomb? I don't know. Somebody called me, and I don't know. And then they're like, Freddie Kitchens, why was you wearing that T-shirt? It was for my daughter, and I don't know how I put it on, but then I had a jacket, so you couldn't see it, but I didn't zip it up all the way. Like, no, you got to go, man. Like, you would not – they should have kept him as a quarterback coach or whatever, to, you know, so he could work with Baker, but he shouldn't have been put in the head coach spot.
If they have a chance to go 8-8 somehow. I mean, they still have Cincinnati twice.
Well, yeah. Well, that's because they do have talent. But it's like, yeah, this – the best thing Freddie Kitchens has done this season, Marcus Vandenberg, was show up on that one episode of the Steve Austin Show.
Oh, that's right. It's very, very on brand.
Yes, that's the best thing Freddie did all year. But, yeah, you're right, though, about Mike Tomlin. If they make the playoffs, if they finish ahead of Cleveland and they make the playoffs in that division – where Baltimore has been running wild. Like, I think you seriously got to consider him for coach of the year. Like, I'm not saying he'll get it, but he should be in the conversation.
And if they do make the playoffs and they somehow, because, you know, Houston is the team of the Saturday morning wild card games, I would like their chances against Houston in a wild card game.
Man, that's gonna be fun. Because you're looking at the AFC and you're going to have your man – Deshaun Watson, you're going to have Lamar, of course. We're going to have Patrick Mahomes. But they telling me the quarterbacks like that can't win in the NFL, Marcus.
You forgot one, Nate.
Who else?
Jaheim Allen. Our brother Jaheim in Buffalo.
Yes. I couldn't tell because, you know, it's so cold up there that the melanin seeped out of his skin. But, yeah.
Hey, look, like, it happens sometimes. Look.
That's how you was looking when you was up at Hofstra.
Just, yes. Just pale.
But yeah, I can't front because I didn't buy into Buffalo, Marcus, because to me I'm like, who have they played? Who have they beat?
Yeah.
But you play who's on the schedule. And they've beaten more people than not. You know, I think if not for the history of the franchises, I would say that I would take them over New England, but we know New England's going to, you know, at least get to the conference finals.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at which team I want to put money in going forward, it might be Buffalo. It might be.
Going forward as in, like, next season in the future?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, because, I wasn't high on your boy, Allen, but I disrespected the brother. I forgot to check his genealogy. Mm-hmm. I forgot to do Ancestry.com.
23andMe.
And like, oh, this, I didn't know he celebrated Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Umojo.
In the NFC real quick.
Yeah. Let's talk about this NFC, Marcus, because what happened to your Rams? Don't think you're going to get away without speaking on that.
They're not out of it yet. They have a chance.
Oh, I didn't say they were out of it. I just said what happened to them, Marcus. What is going on?
Todd Gurley
So is that why Goff is not what he was last season?
I think part of it's the offensive line is just not good. The other part too is so much of what they did last year was based on the run, and they are not running the ball. It's not even just Gurley; they're just not running the ball. Period.
Yeah, well, because even last year when they didn't have Gurley, they still had C.J. Anderson doing work.
I mean, C.J. was like this diamond in the rough fine, especially down the stretch where they ran the shit out of him. they have capable running backs, I think, and Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson is a rookie, but they're just so pass-heavy.
Yeah. And that division's gotten tougher all of a sudden.
Yeah, that division's gotten really tough.
49ers and the Seahawks.
Which you're going to have either the Seahawks or the Niners as a wild card team. Which
going to Dallas, most likely.
Yes.
Dallas, who is like I don't want to say any of the players in the NFL quit Marcus because we know they out there doing their best, but it actively looked like they were trying to get your man fired the other night. They trying to get Garrett run out the paint.
Yeah. That the NFC East is it's pretty bad.
I've never seen or heard Dak Prescott cuss Marcus Vandenberg, and they had one shot during the game where they had a close up on him on the sideline. I think it was after either after a drop or after the defense messed up something, and he just looked like he was getting ready to go full New Jack if somebody had asked him what he thought about his head coach, because he was just like. Like, you know when a brother start biting their bottom lip?
Mm-hmm.
I
you was know like, why? Somebody. That's his money.
I like, somebody get a. I don't know who was doing sideline that game, but somebody get Michelle Tafoya over there to talk to Dak Prescott because we need to hear what he has to say right now.
Yes.
But, yeah, so like, NFC East is trash. Like, there's still a. Mathematical possibility that the Redskins of all people could win the division, which is
hilarious. It's not gonna happen.
The NFC South outside of the Saints is pretty down this year. Matter of fact, your boy Riverboat Ron got run out the paint. Speaking of coaches losing their jobs, what did you make of that?
I don't remember the last time a coach has been. Sort of like heralded after they had fired, like Ron Rivera was like.
Yeah, I didn't know all these people love Ron Rivera like that.
I know. I'm like, great guy, Ron Rivera fired, and I'm like, I mean, I get it, but they're not good, and they haven't been good in a couple years now. So something had to give. But yeah, it was kind of I think he'll get another job next year, but. Yeah. I was not expecting this sort of the support for him.
You know what it is, Marcus. It's like when you have an office situation and there's like only one of each minority in the office, and it's like, oh no, they fired Mexican Terry. We can't lose Mexican Terry.
Mm-hmm.
He brings so much flavor to the team. So it's like, yeah, I think that's what the NFL owners are like, damn. Well, we can't lose our one Latino.
That was my first thought, was now we're down to three minorities and probably down to two if they fire Anthony Lynn.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Anthony Lynn. Like, I think he's a good coach, Marcus. I think.
Well, they've had some bad losses. Like, they haven't been blown out all year. It's always been one possession or less.
That's always what the Chargers do, though, right? Like, to quote Dan Le Batard, every game of Philip Rivers' life is him down by seven with 2 seconds on the clock, and he's got to go 30 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Philip Rivers' life.
Yeah, but, I mean, he looks a little like Brady. He doesn't look good this year.
No.
The running game doesn't look good. If Melvin Gordon's goal was to get money this offseason, he probably should have sat out. Because this isn't really helping him.
Like you failed on both accounts, sir.
Yeah. They're 4-8, and they're 4-8 in a season where they can't afford to be 4-8 because they're moving to a brand new stadium, and it's bad enough they're sharing the stadium with the Rams, who don't have an established fan base as is, but to move into the stadium with little fan support, you know, it's just it's going to be tough for the Chargers to be a draw in this town, unless their whole strategy is, hey, come see the stadium, pay less prices than Rams games, and you know, maybe their tickets are, you know, 30% cheaper than Rams tickets, and maybe that will attract fans of not the opposing team to come watch them. But I'm
very
curious to see.
Fans of watching NFL games on budget.
Yeah, I mean,
when you play Madden, Marcus, play franchise mode, and your team is terrible, so you go to concessions options, mm-hmm. and you make all the concessions items $2 to get the fans in there.
Bring them in. Whatever it takes.
It's a money thing, but the more I look at the move, the more I'm like, why? Like, you go into a place that doesn't love you.
Yeah. By the way, next year, I was looking at their schedule to see which fan bases will come dominate. They play the Patriots at home, which, oof. And they play the Jets at home, which will be fun. I can go see the Jets.
Okay.
And then, Nate, Falcons. If you try to come to L.A., Nate, twice in a year, the Falcons play the Chargers at the new stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to think. WrestleMania what's the event that's coming out to L.A. next year? It's not SummerSlam. Was it a Rumble?
No, it would be WrestleMania 2021. So yet we're still about a year and a half away.
Okay, see, I was thinking for whatever reason y'all got one next year, one of the big four.
No.
Okay. But yeah, I still might have to come out there. I'd find a reason to come out there. Maybe AEW put on a show around the same time.
Yeah, they have not announced anything yet for the West Coast. So they have said that they'll be back in Vegas for Memorial Day weekend. So maybe they'll do something in May around that trip. But
yeah, that'd be smart.
Yeah. But yeah, it has not been announced that WrestleMania is coming to Los Angeles in 2021, but that seems to be the strong hint that it's going to eventually end up in LA here. So,
with your WrestleMania host, LeVar Ball.
Oh, man.
LeVar and LaMelo bringing it back one time.
Future number one NBA pick, LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Saying the N-word on national TV.
Get that nigga, daddy.
What a time.
Everything about I just went back and watched that episode again the other day for some reason.
Why?
Everything about that segment is ridiculous. From the way he enters the ring, LaVar Ball, to when he takes off the shirt and he's cutting the promo on The Miz, to LaMelo, get that nigga daddy. Like, it's the worst and best thing ever. Like, there was a moment in our collective history as a nation, Marcus Vandenberg, where LaVar Ball was like one of the biggest figures in pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
And now what's he doing?
Not a damn thing. I need, once Melo is drafted and established, I need a website to sit down with him and watch that moment and get his live reaction.
Yes.
Ooh, maybe walk us through.
Maybe we can get a 30 for 30 about that whole year. The year of the ball.
The year of the balls.
With Lonzo and LaMelo and LeVar.
That was the same year the stuff in China happened.
Yep. And LiAngelo, like, just a year of the balls.
I would watch that.
The rise and fall of the big baller brand.
Yeah.
Grand opening, grand closing, the LeVar Ball story. Real quick, though, before we get out of here, since we are on the subject of basketball, Marcus Vandenberg, what do you make of your Lakers there? Been looking good ever since that opening night defeat.
Yeah, they look good. Dwight Howard looks like he's come to terms with being a bench guy and being a great teammate. And you know what? I will say I would give props to Laker fans because they have embraced that dude since day one coming back, which I thought was not going to be the case because, you know, the Kobe stands.
Mm-hmm. Even Chris from L.A., our brother Chris from L.A., recently posted on Facebook. Maybe it's because it's the holiday season, Marcus, and he's feeling in the given mood. But he was like, you know what? I actually don't mind that fool Dwight Howard being back with the Lakers this year.
That fool.
Which is the nicest thing Chris has ever said about Dwight Howard in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah, he's he's been dead off the bench. Just the scary part for opposing teams is, you know, Kyle Kuzma hasn't looked like himself yet. Mm-hmm. Avery Bradley's been hurt for the last 10 games or so. Rondo got back late. So
who's your boy that's on all the highlights?
Alex Caruso.
Yes, I was gonna say he's got a little bit of that those Allen genes in him.
Yes, Alex Caruso. He's a internet darling because he's white and he's bald and he's good at defense.
Yes, he looks like a white Manu Ginobili. If
yes,
that makes any sense.
Except Alex Caruso is 25. So,
like he's had a hard 25 years. Like, you ball already, fam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's not like, you know, the regular male pattern baldness. It's like full on Manu Ginobili. Like,
yeah, it's not a LeBron situation. It's he might as well let it go.
Yeah, just go ahead and shave it off, dog.
Yes, come to glory.
This will be the one time, other than Stone Cold Steve Austin, where we won't comment on a white man going with the skinhead route.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let it slide, brother, because yeah, that's not working. But yeah, I've been really surprised, man, by the way that things have come together so far. I think the only complaint I've heard about this team, and I don't know how valid it is maybe LeBron doesn't need to go so hard right now in the early season, but to your point about the people that are missing due to injuries, maybe he's doing that now, and then when people start to come back, he can ease up a little bit and do the whole load management thing.
Oh, yeah, there will be some load management going on for sure. But I think we – not that the Lakers were this good last year, but we saw them show promise last December, and then LeBron got hurt Christmas Day, and it was downhill from there. So, and then my Raptors –
You still claiming them?
I'm still claiming them. Yeah. I'm not getting off the bandwagon now.
At least not till next season when they can finally, you finally can't say they're defending champions anymore.
No. Pascal Siakam has made the leap into borderline superstar, which, you know, it's helped with the not having Kawhi deal.
Yeah.
And defensively, they're a fun team to watch. If you like defense at all, which I know it's not rare, but, you know, Nick Nurse has found a way to take advantage of some of these athletic big men they have in Ibaka and Siakam, Anunoby, Terrence Davis. So they just give teams fits on the defensive side. So they're still fun. I don't know what they do when it comes to the trade deadline, because they do have some expiring contracts that could move. I mean, they could trade Ibaka in particular.
Marcus Landenberg, are you watching what game you got on in the background?
Currently I have on Rocket Suns.
Oh, because I'm looking at the Ohio State game, and they're doing the Dr. Pepper.
Oh, the halftime?
Tell me why one of the guys – looks exactly like if Dr. Nick from The Simpsons came to life.
Oh no. Hey everybody.
He need that tuition for medical school.
Oh.
But yeah, this like I've watched about four games today, and in each of the games, the best part of the games has been the Dr. Pepper tuition toss.
Usually is. They should move that to the halftime of the playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
You're wasting them on the championship team. Move that to prime time.
That's a good point.
Or have it a tournament and have like the finals at, you know, in the playoffs.
And I love how like nobody like but they've been doing this for a few years now, so everybody knows you throwing it overhand like the way you regularly throw a football. That doesn't work. You got to do like the push shot.
The chest pass.
Uh-oh, it's getting close. Dr. Nick versus Marcus, that's his name. He's some blonde kid from. Did Dr. Nick win? Oh, Dr. Nick won.
Dr. Nick.
he's getting emotional now.
It's for $100,000, right?
Yeah, $100,000 for the winner. And here's the thing, though: the loser still gets $25,000.
That helps a little with the loss, but I would be.
I mean, that's what? That's a year?
Not even these days. That's a semester at some schools.
Damn. It's like, yes, I won this check, and I'm going to transfer to a community college. This will pay for my entire community college education.
Yeah, that's a
he's.
That's
I think semester. He's got a little Alex Caruso thing going on where he's – like, I know this kid is probably, like, 21, but he looks 41. Getting back to the NBA real quick before we close out this segment, Marcus Vandenberg, I was going to say that do you think, seeing how good the Lakers are right now, and granted it's still early on in the regular season, do you think that they're going to need to make any moves at the trade deadline or anything like that to bolster this team for a playoff run, or do you think they can stand pat once they get everybody back?
I think they can stand pat right now, barring any injuries. I don't see any glaring holes that they have. This team's pretty deep as is. You sort of forget Jared Dudley's on this team because he doesn't play. So I think if they get in a situation later in the second half where they can sort of play Dudley more or play Troy Daniels more to give them some more reps before the playoffs to get them ready. I think they're in a pretty decent spot as is.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you won't be able to get Carmelo because, he got that play of the week money now. So the price is going up.
Yeah. Well,
he's a little bit out of your price range now, brother.
Yeah. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. So shout out to Carmelo Marcus. At least, it's a somewhat happy ending.
It's still early, Nate. It's too early.
It's better than being on the street.
It's better than being on the street. Not that he needs the money, but,
You know, he could be in somebody's gym sending in those sad tapes of him making shots when nobody's defending him.
I mean, now that Rodney Hood's out for the year, it only means more shots for Melo, so.
Yeah.
The price has gone up for Melo.
Yeah, so shout out to Melo
you joked, but if the Blazers keep losing... I would trade Carmelo Anthony at this rate.
Damn.
he's making $2 million a year. Mm-hmm. He has proven himself to be who he is, which is a shooter who doesn't do much else.
And a volume shooter at that.
A volume shooter. You can get a draft pick. Bad for Carmelo at that amount. I mean, shit. If the Lakers needed scoring for some reason, it wouldn't surprise me.
you know, Carmelo just hitting LeBron 2 a.m. Hey, you up, dog? You see that play of the week? I still got it. Mm-hmm. You're like Eddie Kane Jr. in 5 Heartbeats. I still got it, dog. Dang. He show up in his old uniform like, I'm going to need you to go the other way, Carmelo. So, but we're going to come back. We're not going the other way. We're going this way, and then we're coming back on the other side for segment 4. And I think what we're going to do, Marcus, since the last time we talked, there's been some stuff going on in the world of wrestling. So we might get into that. And see what your thoughts are on the WWE post Survivor Series, and who knows, maybe we'll even talk about the noted humanitarian and civil rights leader James E. Cornette. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
So don't you guys and girls go anywhere. Stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport right after this. I won't let you forget me. I still see your shadows in my room. Can't take back the love that I gave you. It's to the point why I love and I hate you. And I cannot change you, so I must replace you. Oh, easier said than done. I thought you were the one listening to my heart instead of my head. You found another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me. You left me falling and landing inside my grave. I know that you want me dead. I take prescriptions to make me feel okay. I know it's all in my head. I have these lucid dreams where I can't move a thing.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we have to give you what you want. We have to give you what you need, and what you want and need is a little bit of ratchetness. That's what we're here for in segment four. It's our cornucopia of crazy, our repository of ratchetness. And Marcus Vandenberg, as you well know, all the years we've been doing this show, sometimes there's nothing more ratchet than wrestling.
Ain't that the truth?
So I think what we're going to do, since we haven't really spoke wrestling in a while, and in the interim between the last time we recorded, there were a couple big events for the WWE. Let's talk some wrestling, because we are a week or so out, or a couple weeks out from the NXT TakeOver, and the Survivor Series with brand supremacy was the big tagline, Marcus Vandenberg. So I know You've been on your Disney Plus grind, but when you haven't been watching Baby Yoda, have you been checking out what's been going on with the WWE?
What's funny is I'm behind on Mandalorian. Every time I've tried to watch Mandalorian, something has come up. So tonight, I have an empty house tonight. So my goal or my plan this evening after we finish the podcast is to catch up. So.
I mean, I actually like to let episodes kind of, unless it's like a Netflix thing where everything gets released at once, I like to let a couple episodes build up. Because at least that way, because you know they're going to leave you with a hook at the end of one episode to get to the next episode. So it's like, at least let me get two episodes behind so that way I can catch the hook. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like your man Baby Yoda out here on these streets, like the hottest trend on the internet, Marcus.
Yeah, the internet will ruin him. Like they ruin everyone else. So,
How long before Baby Yoda becomes co-opted by the MAGA people?
Ooh. when's the first primary? In the spring.
Headed to Iowa.
Yeah, he'll be in the Iowa caucus, like in a red
Baby
MAGA
Yoda
hat,
wearing a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
America great again, make it.
Oh, man. Damn it.
No, you canceled, Yoda. You canceled.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing to me about that is they didn't even make toys, Marcus. Like, how do you not have it in your mind to make toys and stuffed animals like about this? Well, you know it's going to be popular.
I think if they made toys, it would have been leaked. And then I think part of the allure of Baby Yoda is the fact that no one was even aware that there was a Baby Yoda or what it would look like.
It's like, so, it's like the Randy Orton of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
But yeah, because I was reading today, like, they've got stuffed animals, but the stuffed animals won't be out until, like, next spring.
Yeah, it takes a long time to do toys.
And then, even we were talking Funko last time, like, Funko's got some Baby Yoda stuff lined up, but again, late spring, so.
But yeah, by then, I mean.
I wonder, because it's kind of like when Baby Groot was out with Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I think they waited too long to bring Baby Groot toys out, and by the time they came out, people was like,
Yeah.
Like, they sold them, but it wasn't as big as it would have been if they had released it with them when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Baby Yoda will move some units, but it ain't going to be like it would have been if you could buy Baby Yoda for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be the number one toy this season.
Oh, yeah. It'd be like Tickle Me Elmo.
Yes. Tickle Me Yoda. Say, hands off me, get you. But yeah, we're not here to talk about Baby Yoda, Marcus Vandenberg.
No.
We're here to talk about somebody else that you have a great affinity for. And that's your man, Paul, your man, Triple H. And when we look back at, like, TakeOver and the Survivor Series weekend, you'd have to say the NXT brand, Paul's brand, came out looking the best of anybody.
It did. But what does it all mean, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, they had a great weekend, but NXT is back to what it was before all this, which not a bad thing, but it just feels like everything was wrapped up in this 3 to 4 week build, and then it's sort of like, right, hit the reset button, and we're back to, like, nothing's ever happened.
Do you think this would have been a good time? And I think Brian Mann said it on Twitter the other day. Do you think the Survivor Series deal would have been a good time to kind of bring up not everybody, but, you know, a good chunk of those top NXT people, and then refresh NXT to make it more like the developmental brand, which is supposed to be? And that way you also kind of infuse Raw and SmackDown with fresh talent.
So promoting those guys to Raw, SmackDown, and then.
Yeah.
I think that's risky because of this new TV deal of USA. If they weren't on USA, I think you would have more creative freedom in that sense of maybe experimenting, but. And if there was no AEW, AEW wasn't in the mix, then you can afford to do that. But I think, you know, even if it's the company saying, oh, we don't care about the competition or we don't care about ratings, I think Vince McMahon cares about ratings. And I think that would, you know, probably hurt them by truly making NXT what it was originally intended to be.
Yeah, because they actually finally beat AEW head-to-head in the ratings over the Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, they beat them 2 weeks, and then I guess this past week, AEW barely nudged them, so it's pretty much even.
And I think we'll see, because I think a lot of those 2 weeks had the buzz of the NXT guys being interacted with the regular roster.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. Can that be sustained now that they're back to where you said, back to where they were before? I think they'll still do good numbers, but you're right in that the goal of NXT on USA is not necessarily in the best interest of the performers. It's, can we put on a decent show, but still the main goal is to siphon off viewers from this other show because it's a similar audience that watches both.
Do you watch one show over the other first, or it just depends?
It depends. Like, most of the time, I say 9 times out of 10, I watch AEW first, just because to me they are still the hotter show, and you got my man Tony Schiavone. So it's like, I get live Tony Schiavone. I'm gonna watch some Tony Schiavone. But I will say, particularly during the Survivor Series angle, the lead up to it, I would find myself flipping back and forth more often than not. And there were times, particularly when they were building up to like the women's Survivor Series match with the Baszler and Rhea Ripley stuff, that I would stay on NXT, or when they were doing stuff with Undisputed Era and Keith Lee and your man Riddle. I would stick on NXT for a commercial break or two, whereas normally in weeks before that, I would flip right back. Once, as soon as it got to a commercial, I'd be back on AEW.
I haven't watched NXT Live yet since the Switch, in part because I never watched NXT Live before AEW. I mean, I think the audience was trained to watch it whenever on demand.
Right, to watch it when you can.
You know, granted, you're presenting it live on USA, but you're also presenting, or, you know, the opposing company's presenting this other option too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know what will get me to switch over to watch it live, but for the time being, I'm watching AEW. If I'm not watching it live and I'm not home, I'm watching it first, and then I'll go back and watch NXT.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of fans are doing that, or at least more fans than the other way around. Because, like you said, yes, it's how you've trained your audience. And for AEW, even though it's not a perfect show, they train you that you have to watch because you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock TNT, Wednesday night. Whereas with NXT, yeah, they want you to watch live, but there's not really an incentive for you that you have to watch it live. Because also, if you look at the social media around these shows, AEW still, to me, has the larger imprint right now in terms of watching it live and interacting with other fans.
Yeah, I think that is them sort of getting a younger audience, and the NXT audience is probably made up more of your 50 plus, which I think John and Way do a great breakdown of every week.
Yeah, that's crazy. Every week, 50 plus holding it down.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to joke about Marcus because I'll be there in like 8 years. So
that's a long time from now.
I'll be one of those people holding it down for the 50 plus.
Yeah, but I don't think that was the intended audience for NXT. But
no.
here we are.
That is weird though, and I wonder why that is the case.
I just think it's carryover from Raw and SmackDown. You know, I think. And also, I think if you're a parent and you have a kid, especially a kid who's, you know, in school, you might let them watch wrestling one night of the week.
Yeah.
Maybe two because it's on Friday on SmackDown. But to have them watch wrestling on a Wednesday night, I don't know. It feels like it's a bit much to ask of a parent to have a kid watching all this wrestling during the week.
We can't have all this wrestling during a school night.
that's a fair and legitimate question, and yeah. I would think concern about growing
the
audience.
And AEW does do the NXT does do the overrun gimmick.
Yep,
where they don't exactly cut off at 10 o'clock. So if you're trying to get your kid to bed for school the next day, it's like, oh, mom, I know it's 10:30, but Ciampa's making his comeback.
I wasn't done with homework at 10:30, let alone like trying to watch TV most nights. So
that's crazy though, because I think in a perfect world, Marcus, both of these shows could be on separate nights, because I do think that there is an audience, like, because I think if we look at the numbers for both shows, even from the beginning, the number is around, what, 1.8, maybe 2 million people in total?
If you're combining them?
Yeah.
It's a little less than 2 now.
Less than 2?
1.8, 1.9.
Okay. And I wonder if these shows were on separate nights. Like if AEW was on Wednesday and NXT was on Tuesday, would we see those numbers increase for both shows?
Oh, I think you would see it increase. I don't think you would see it. It wouldn't double the audience, but I think both shows would consistently be around 1 million.
Mm.
Which,
here's another question, Marcus Vandenberg. Do you ever foresee a scenario where, and again, I don't think it can happen because these shows kind of cannibalize each other.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say 1 week NXT is off. And AEW takes advantage, like Nitro used to do when they had the Westminster Puppet Show.
Uh-huh.
And they put on a big show because they know they're running unopposed. Do you think on a night like that, there's any chance that AEW could even get in the neighborhood of a Raw rating? Running unopposed.
No. I don't think
even
so.
even as bad as Raw's ratings have been, it's still a big hill to climb.
That's still more than double.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what NXT does on Christmas. I mean, AEW's already said they're not running an actual live show on Christmas. I'm assuming NXT won't. They'll probably do a best of. They don't really do best ofs every year, so.
Yeah.
New Year's Day.
I mean, all the smart shows run a best of on Christmas, Marcus.
Yes, it's part of the gimmick.
Keep your eyes and ears out for that one, folks.
New Year's Day, I know AEW's running in Jacksonville. I'm assuming NXT's going to run at Full Sail and AEW in Jacksonville. So, we probably won't see a scenario anytime soon where one show is on and one show is off.
How far is Jacksonville from Orlando? Not having been down to Florida in a while.
It's like 3 hours.
Oh, because I was saying, could we get some of that good old DX invasion flavor? But no, that's a long trip in that's Florida traffic.
Here's the maybe John Pollock can look into this. You're welcome, John. What happens in April and May for AEW? Because for TNT, that is NBA playoffs. That is the heart of the playoffs for them. And they usually do the whole 40 games and 40 night type deal. But I'm going to assume there are going to be some Wednesdays where the playoffs are on and TNT has games.
So then they move. Will they do like they did move it to a different channel?
You could. You could maybe move it to TBS or True TV.
Yeah, because it was True TV last time, but I'm thinking if you want the biggest possible audience, you'd move it to TBS. Like, what the hell is TBS playing at that time?
Yeah.
So,
speaking of TBS, I wonder if this, I don't know what Turner feels about this deal so far, but let's just say, everyone's happy with each other. You know, I wonder at what point do they take AEW dark and maybe put it on
the Superstation?
That's TBS on the weekend. So, not completely bring back the WCW Saturday night concept, but a Saturday or a Sunday night, just, air dark and provide TBS outlet with wrestling.
It'd be smart and for a couple of reasons, because number one, I do think they're happy with AEW right now, especially because it's not the most expensive show for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be content that they could air on the weekends when they would just be running probably another movie or something of that nature. But also, it would help because one of the big complaints you still hear about AEW is, why do you have to watch the YouTube show to get filled in on stuff on Dynamite? And if they put dark on a regular cable channel, then you don't have that issue anymore.
Yeah, and I think breaking up, not having wrestling Tuesday, Wednesday would help them. So having it maybe Wednesday, Saturday, where you have your live show Wednesday, and then your sort of your follow up that also promotes your following Wednesday show over the weekend would be a better fit than the night before.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea because honestly, like, I watch dark, but I usually don't get around to it until the weekends anyway.
Yeah, I don't watch it usually on Tuesdays anymore.
Yeah, I mean, why would you watch that when you can watch your man Jim Cornette on in the
Well, since you mentioned them,
hold on, I got one more thing on AEW before we get to. Let's finish on the positive note before we get to the bad note, because I was recording the Nubian Wrestling Advocates today with Chris Ely and Rich Fan from Pro Wrestling Torch. And one of the questions we were talking about is, now that we're kind of 3 months in to the Wednesday Night Wars, what is your kind of overall impression of both shows? And has Wednesday become a fun night for you as opposed to maybe Mondays or Fridays where you're either dreading watching wrestling or you're not watching at all?
Wednesday, I mean, I look forward to Wednesday now, in terms of wrestling.
Yeah.
So yeah, in that sense, it's still exciting. I watched SmackDown. Let's see, what's it they said? I watched it early this morning during a feeding of young Simba. And
so you were feeding young Simba baby food as Roman Reigns was being fed dog food.
I did not get to that part. I knew what happened at the very end, and I turned it off as soon as he got to the main event.
I can't expose my child to this.
This filth at 4 a.m. And then Raw is very much... Mm. It's on the DVR, but it's usually an instant delete. I don't even bother skimming through it.
Yeah. Again, I listen to Post, and if Post tells me there's a segment worth watching, I'll watch it.
Yeah. You mean you're not interested in NetSuite's divorce settlement, Nate?
I am not. And here's a crazy thing, Marcus. A little inside baseball, if you will. I think John's going to be away not this Monday, but the following Monday.
No, it's this Monday.
Is it this Monday?
Yes, be ready. That's what Way said on the show yesterday.
Oh, see, I was thinking it was next Monday.
Oh no,
I mean the following Monday.
I'm pretty double check, but I'm pretty sure it's this Monday.
Oh because I have been asked to fill in for John Pollock, and I love my brothers John Pollock and Wei Ting, Marcus Vandenberg, but that's one of these situations where you're like, sure, I'll watch your kids. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, I don't want to watch them damn kids. Yeah. Sure, I'll help sit your dog. I don't want to watch that badass dog.
Yeah, for 3 hours.
Now I'm stuck watching a divorce. If it is indeed this week,
it is. I'm double check, but.
So did they announce it on the show?
On Review of SmackDown, yeah.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, cause I haven't listened to Review of SmackDown yet. All right, so here's, I'm like Stu Gatz now. Like, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get strep throat all of a sudden. And sorry, Way, it's one of those 24-hour bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Like, yeah, my mood. Like, I don't know.
I just killed your Saturday that fast, huh?
Yeah, because like on the one hand, yeah, I get to talk to Wei Ting for a couple hours. That'll be fun. But I have to watch Raw.
You do.
And that won't be fun.
No.
So wait, is it Kwanzaa yet? Because I was going to say, that's a terrible
Not
way to
yet.
Start off Kwanzaa.
No. Got some time.
Got some time. When does Hanukkah start?
Let's see. I think Hanukkah this year. Does it overlap with Christmas? Let me see. Yes, it does. December 22nd.
Ooh. Okay.
It overlaps with Kwanzaa. We have the rare
Ooh.
Three holiday.
Ooh.
Well, no, Christmas will be over, but take that back. But we'll have Kwanzaa and Hanukkah overlapping.
Okay. That'll be nice. That'll be nice. So we the black community and the Jewish community can come together mm-hmm. and listen to Sammy Davis Jr. records.
Yes.
And watch Whoopi Goldberg movies.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And Tiffany Haddish. Did you know Tiffany Haddish was Jewish?
I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's got a special coming out on, I think, Netflix.
It's out,
Black
yeah.
Mitzvah. Oh, mm-hmm. It's out?
Yeah, it's out. I haven't
Black
seen
Mitzvah.
It yet, but it's out.
So I might have to check that out. But yeah, Marcus, and let's go from cultures coming together and groups being aware and sensitive to each other's customs and cultures. To your man, Jim Cornette. The recently resigned from NWA, James E. Cornette, Marcus Vandenberg. In the time since the last time we talked, he ran his mouth again, said something stupid, and got, I was going to say got fired, but, you know, he was asked to resign. Which is how things usually end up for Jim Cornette in 2019. And so he went on his podcast, as one does, and said some things about the company. And then the company turns around and gives him a great going-away present this past week with a tribute segment. So yes. what have you made of this whole Cornette story, man?
So I'm going to assume you're more offended by this statement than the Lamar Jackson comment, correct?
Yes, because one was an honest mistake that led to a dumb statement. The other is, you've been making this joke for 20 years, man. You know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. It's... And as you mentioned, this is not the first time that this joke, I guess, has come up.
Yes.
The joke is not funny, number one.
No. Like, here's the thing, Mark. It's like, it's not funny on the level of the black people and chicken stereotype. And it's not funny on, like, the Ethiopian famine level. Like,
yeah.
Cause here's the thing, Mark. I'm gonna be real with the listeners. There was a time that I made a joke about the Ethiopian famine. But I was 11 years old, Marcus Vandenberg, when I made that joke. And I was immediately told that that wasn't funny, and here's why it's not funny, and I never have made that joke again.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cornette, on the other hand, is a grown-ass man, Marcus, who has made this joke at least twice, probably more than twice.
On top of saying the N-word
Calling Dixie Carter the C-word.
Yes.
On top of calling Sonny
Kiss. Yeah.
Yep, calling him a transvestite or whatever Jim's terminology was for him. So yeah, he's he got released from MLW for something similar.
Yeah.
For running his mouth. So yeah, this is not this is not a first time offense. Jim Cornette is a habitual line stuff.
I mean, to be honest, he never should have been in the spot in the first place. Mm. And this never should have aired. You know,
yep.
This is a tape show. MOW, excuse me, the NWA should have caught this. And I think that's, you know, in terms of my issues, like, yeah, what he said is bad. I was also sort of annoyed by his lack of apology. And then the lack of the NWA coming out and properly handling this, like, there was no really acknowledgement.
The only thing I've heard, and we talked about it again on the NWA podcast, the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, not the National Wrestling Alliance, but with Dave Lagana saying that him and his team missed it and he was just tired from going through all the footage. And I'm like, okay, you can be tired, but how you going to let that slip, man? Like,
yeah.
And I think it ties into what we were talking about with ACH, where if you have a certain set of eyes and ears watching something, they might not hear something the way the rest of us hear something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need more than one type of person in the office that can be like, you can run it by, and I'm using this analogy because I was watching a office marathon today. When Michael Scott had some things that he wasn't quite sure were okay on the racial front, he would call down to the warehouse and talk to Daryl.
Yes.
And so they need a Daryl in the NWA to run these type of things by.
Every office needs a Tyrone.
Yes.
Say this ain't it, Chief.
Yo, and then when they came back with that tribute, though, Marcus Vandenberg, that's the one that got me.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to sort of not want to put your face out there publicly and own it, but then to go back and to praise this man.
Yeah.
Like he's like retiring. Like
they had the sad music in the background, like he had to leave because he's sick or something.
And listen, I understand that, you know, the fan base is pro Cornette. So maybe this is just them leaning in kinda sorta into that audience, but also realizing that
we're really living
the
retro gimmick that you know, our sensibilities are in the '80s as well.
Yeah, so I can't watch the product. I'm out on it.
Here's the thing with that too, Mark. It's like, I think if we're just looking at what Jim Cornette has meant to the wrestling business, like, yeah, mm-hmm. you got to give him respect for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of the best managers ever, one of the best wrestling minds ever. But there comes a time where you have to evolve. And the stuff you could get away with in 1989 is not going to fly in 2019. And either Jim should have been aware of that, or the people that employed Jim should have been aware of that and protected him from himself.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I mean, you say it's not going to fly, but more than ever, it's line with half of the country. Half of the country is like, you know, fuck that. Like, this is, you know, PC culture, and what's the big deal?
MAGA Yoda on Twitter, snowflakes you be.
Yeah. So it's this weird dynamic of like, yeah, the other half is definitely not going to let this fly, but then there's a large number of people that are like, what's the problem? What's the problem, man?
Yo, I saw so many, because I made a tweet about the Jim Cornette thank you that they aired on Power. And if you go to, not my tweet, but the original tweet that the NWA released on it, like, because they doubled down. Like, not only was it in the show, but they made a point to post that clip on Twitter. And if you look underneath, yeah, it's probably 50-50 with people saying this is dumb, and then the other half saying, oh, man, this is great. Jim should have never got fired. You know, what was so wrong about what he said? It's just a joke. People can't take jokes nowadays. It's like, this is where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Not surprised, but I am surprised about the send-off for Cornette.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, okay, you couldn't get around him because he was in the, you know, he was in that last match with the Rock and Roll Express winning the title. So, yes, he's physically on the show, and I think there was a way where if you wanted to give him a tribute, you could have done it, but you also needed to acknowledge why he wasn't going to be around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unfortunately, Jim Cornette said things that this company doesn't believe in. We want to thank Jim for his service and what he's meant to the NWA, but we can't be a part of what he said. I would have been fine if they had said something like that.
Yeah.
But to just make it like, oh, Jim is the best, and we're going to play this sad music and play the Rock and Roll Express celebration in slow motion. Like, nah, man. Like, what are you doing, Lagana?
Yeah. It's, you know.
And here's the other thing, Marcus. We know your man Billy Corgan has, shall we say, interesting political views. So maybe Billy Corgan is like, that's cool.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, Billy Corgan, I believe he's like one of these Alex Jones type of dudes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So let's see. What does the wiki say about Corgan under politics?
So Marcus is about to be...
Don't ruin Smashing Pumpkins for me, Nate.
You're going to feel like I felt when I realized I had to watch Raw this Monday.
Political views. Corden said after the 2008 election, quote, I'm very proud of my country right now for doing the right thing. He has since said that he has been disappointed with Barack Obama's presidency and lots of faith in both major political parties. All right.
So far, nothing worrying.
2016, he called progressive political campaigners, quote, social justice warriors, compared them to, Maoism. Oh, boy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Cult members in the KKK and saying that they were a threat to freedom of speech. Mm. Oh, man.
See, yeah, it took a turn.
2018, Corrigan said that he is a, quote, free market libertarian capitalist, and added that he has not voted since 1992 when he voted for Bill Clinton.
So, yeah, your man Billy might be cool with what Jim Cornette's saying. It's free speech, man.
Yeah.
Cut to an hour from now, Mark is just deleting all the Pumpkin songs off his Spotify.
Oh, boy. All right. Thanks for ruining my night.
There goes melancholy and the infinite sadness.
I am infinite sadness now. It's me.
Oh, so yeah. Like, I think you're right, though, Marcus, because I was really enjoying the NWA show. And now, like, I'm not going to say I'm not going to watch it again, but it's certainly not nearly as high a priority as it was before this whole Jim Cornette thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad because they got a lot of good people in that company.
Yeah. Shout out to Marty Bell.
Yep, Marty Bell. Your man Nick Aldis. James, I'm glad James Storm's still catching a check somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Kay's great. I think Melina just came back too.
Okay.
So shout out to Melina getting the check, but yeah, I can't roll with your man Billy Corgan up in here.
No.
The free market capitalist, whatever the hell he called himself.
Yeah. Can't do it.
So, yeah, despite all his rage. So Marcus Vandenberg, we're going to end on this note because I see Marcus's wine cup is getting low and he's going to have to refill it after finding out about his man Billy. So wine cup, I should have said wine
glass.
It was
beer. It wasn't wine, it was beer.
Oh, it was a grapefruit beer today?
No, it wasn't grapefruit. It was a aqua fresca cerveza.
Just because you put cerveza on the end of it doesn't make it any more manly, Marcus. Just because you throw a little of that Ron Rivera flavor on the top of it doesn't make it any more.
Let's see. New Belgian Brewing. Yeah, Aqua Fresca Cerveza. It was okay.
So what is it like? Is it like one of those White Claw type of deals?
No. It's New Belgium makes it, which New Belgium also makes... let me find the other beer. No, it's not White Claw. It's a beer.
Oh, so it's like, what is it? The Blue Moon? Is that the one?
Is that New Belgium? Let me see. It's not above me now. Fat Tire.
Okay.
Yeah, they made Fat Tire.
Yeah, because a lot of, like, I don't know what it is, but like White Claw, and then there's another one out there that the guy from Key & Peele is advertising now, Keegan-Michael Key. Like the fizzy, like, basically water with alcohol in it that's flavored.
Have you had White Claw?
I have not. Have you?
I haven't either. No, I have not.
So maybe that'll be listeners if they want to buy us something for Christmas.
Don't do that.
Case of White Claw.
No, not a case. That's too much.
It'll be a whole different show in 2020.
Yes.
You know what, Marcus? Billy Corgan's on to something here. People have gotten way too sensitive. I didn't know White Claw just changed your whole mind.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda was on to something. Build a wall, we must. and on that note, Marcus, let's get out of here. But I think what we'll do is we'll probably do one more show this year, and that'll be the best of.
Let's see.
Because we've got, 3 weeks left or 2 weeks? How long is this month?
We can do one in 2 weeks, and then...
Okay.
Do best of.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so yeah, we'll do a regular show in 2 weeks and then a best of the following week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and for the best of won't be video because it's too complicated.
That's
at the clips in, yeah. So, but the one we do in 2 weeks will be the video version available for the Patreon folks. But yeah, so... let's see. In 2 weeks, we'll probably be talking more about the playoffs
because
we'll have actual brackets by then. And then we should be getting closer to finding out which teams are locking up spots for the NFL playoffs as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the Dallas Cowboys got going on in the NFC East and if they still have the same coach as they do right now.
They probably will, but. I mean,
what you making your boy Jerry Jones getting on the radio and going ham?
He should. That's another franchise where. Granted, the money would probably be great in Dallas, but that's a lot of pressure and a lot of nonsense.
The money would be great, and there's like, if you're just looking from a coaching perspective in terms of talent. There is more talent in Dallas than, say, a Washington
mm-hmm.
or a Tampa Bay if Coach Kangol doesn't come back. But, yeah, like, why would you want to put up with Jerry Jones? Unless there's one man that everybody speaks highly of, Marcus, that would be a fit in that situation.
Lincoln Riley?
I mean, Lincoln Riley is cool, but I'm thinking about Dallas. It's a big Latino market.
Oh, Ron Rivera?
Ron Rivera.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that wouldn't... How long would that last, Ron Rivera and Jerry Jones working together?
One season.
There's no Moss.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get out of here. Are you going to watch the fight tonight? I'm probably not.
Which fight?
Is it tonight or has it already happened?
Oh, it already happened. The Joshua fight? Oh, it happened. Yeah. I watched it, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I'm so used to the boxing taking place in the evening. So, who won?
Joshua, pretty easily.
Okay. Yo, I think we got to give credit to your man Ruiz, though, because my man came in, won the title, said he was going to lose weight because he wasn't in his best shape, and then showed up to the weigh-in 15 pounds heavier. And it was because he ate too much that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy.
Hey, man, he got to be the champ for what? 6 months? Was it even 6 months?
June through December. So.
Okay. So he almost had a run as long as Kofi Kingston, almost.
Unlike Kofi, he got to go longer than seconds.
December 21st, mark it on your calendar.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching the Big Ten Championship on Fox, and they just aired a commercial for a fight that I forgot about, but it was something that we enjoyed doing the show.
Is it Broner?
Tony the Tiger versus Charlo 2.
Oh, all right.
Tony the Tiger Harrison.
Oh,
defended
boy.
The title against Charlo.
Forget about that fight.
I was going to say, for those that haven't been listening for a while, you can go in the archives. There was a show we recorded where that fight was on in the background, and we just got sidetracked.
Yeah.
Talking about Tony the Damn Tiger and his outfit and how he upset Charlo.
Yeah. All right.
They're running it back on the 21st. I think I'm going to be here for that, Marcus.
I think I didn't do that.
Maybe that's what the podcast needs to be. We'll just do a live
recording during the fight
of our thoughts during Tony versus Charlo 2. but that's what's up. So yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. I don't know the exact date of that. That'll be
the 21st. Oh, 21st.
Oh, well, it will be the 21st.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were joking. Yeah, it's the 21st.
Oh, no. I was joking.
That's why I was there. Yeah, it works out.
Okay, yeah. Well, we might actually have to do that then. Let's see what time that fight comes on.
I'm sure it'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern. The card will start, so.
Yeah. Only problem with that is, like, they're the main event, so it's like I don't really want to be recording at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
No, but it's Fox. They have to get in and get out before. That's right.
So the local affiliates.
Yeah, they're on a time limit there.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it'll be like last time where they had like one. Didn't both of the Charlo brothers fight on the last card?
Yes, they did. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they'll probably have like one or two prelims and then get right to the main event.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Let's mark it down. So, on December 21st, Marcus and I will record our next episode. It'll be our Christmas present to you as we talk about Harrison Charlo 2, the fight of the century. I'm excited now, Marcus. Like, I didn't know it was going to work out like that.
It'll probably be better than Josh Ruiz. That was not a good fight today.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
I mean, I felt some type of way anyway about the whole Saudi Arabia deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long before the NWA does a pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia? Because you know Billy Corgan want that money.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money.
Maybe they'll even bring Jim Cornette if the King requests it.
They'll do a Pumpkins concert one night and then wrestling the Nets.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, let's get out of here before we get an email from anybody representing the country of Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
So, Marcus Vandenberg. Where can the people find you on social media? Where can they hear about your great work that you're doing over at Yahoo? And where can they give you suggestions for a great Christmas present for a newborn?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. Actually, Nate, we should talk baseball the next time we talk to.
The winter meetings?
The winter meetings start tomorrow, so I'll be there through Thursday. So by the 21st, we should have either Cole or Rendon or Strasburg.
Most of the big names. The
yeah, we should have some movement there.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, so we'll talk college football, we'll talk NFL, we'll talk Major League Baseball, and of course the main event, Tony the Tiger.
Yes.
Versus one of the Charlo brothers. I can't remember which one it was, but it's one
Jamel.
Of them. Jamel.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's one of them. Jamel, Jermaine, LeAngelo, LeVar. But yeah, so you can find me on Twitter, in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can check out the Rocky Mavia Picture Show. I've also got a... I don't think I told Marcus, and I'll tell him off air because I don't want to ruin the surprise because I don't know when the show is coming out. But I got a special Christmas gift that me and a former podcast partner have been working on, which may or may not be out by the time you listen to this. And then, of course, we got the Patreon here at Kings of Sport, patreon.com/Kings of Sport, where you can check out the latest edition of the Nubian Wrestling Advocates when that drops, featuring Rich Fan from PW Torch. So that's going to do it for this episode, Marcus. I think, we did a good job, man. We were in and out. You know, we stayed on task. We stayed on topic. And, I think we can pat ourselves on the back for this episode.
Barry Horowitz style.
Barry Horowitz style, since we are getting close to Hanukkah season.
Yes.
Got to represent all of our great Jewish wrestlers, Barry Horowitz, Goldberg. Colt Cabana's Jewish.
Colt Cabana, yeah.
Yep, Colt Cabana. Raven.
Yep.
Your man Paul Heyman.
Yep.
I think that's about all I got.
That's all I know.
That's it. That's the list.
Yeah.
So, thank you for checking out another edition of the Kings of Sport. Of course, the classic audio version is what you're listening to now if you're listening to it. And the video version, if you're watching it, you know what the deal is because you're a patron. So thank you for your support. Happy holidays. We will catch you back here in 2 weeks for the fight that will define a new decade, Marcus. The fight that will launch us into the 2020s.
It will.
So, yes, it's a historic night for the Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. If no evidence of quo pro quid cannot impeach, that's all I got for MAGA Baby Yoda.
Wow.
Are we going to have a country in 2 weeks, Marcus?
Yeah, it might have a country 12 months from now, but 2 weeks from now, we're good.
All right, so good. At least we'll get to have a Christmas season.
Yeah, one last one.
One last Christmas. So yeah. Make it count.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, we gave you a wall, and the very next day, you ruined it all.
Yeah.
Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to leave it all on the mat because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!